is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. Hezbollah now confirms that its longtime leader, Hassan Nasrallah, has been killed in an Israeli airstrike. That's him railing at Israel 10 days ago. Israel's defense minister, Yoav Gallant, says Israel's war is not with the people of Lebanon.
State of Israel has eliminated Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah. He was the murderer of thousands of Israelis and foreign citizens. He was an immediate threat to the life of thousands of Israelis and other citizens.
Millions remain without power in the wake of Hurricane Helene, and the death toll is continuing to rise. Kelly Cass at the Weather Channel with what to expect.
We still have a lot of road closures this morning in eastern Tennessee and western North Carolina, even the upstate of South Carolina, Greenville, dealing with some flooding this morning as well.
In Crawfordsville, Florida, Katie White's home was destroyed when a tree fell on it.
I'm so gutted. I don't even know what to say. I don't have any words to say. I've always thought that I would never be in this position before, but never say never, because it can always happen to you, because it happened to us.
NASA says the storm left a deadly trail of destruction in Florida, but it is not likely to affect the planned launch of SpaceX's Crew 9 mission in a few hours. NASA's Steve Stitch says.
We had to go back to the hangar for the hurricane and got out there a little bit late. We are vertical at the pad.
The spacecraft is set to head to the International Space Station, where two stranded NASA astronauts are waiting for a ride home, now scheduled for February. Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore have been there more than 100 days longer than planned. A Florida woman is the latest to file a sex assault lawsuit against Sean Diddy Combs. CBS's Dana Jacobson.
The woman, who is listed as Jane Doe on the complaint filed Friday, says she was repeatedly raped and drugged by Diddy for 4 years, starting in 2020. She says she became pregnant after one of their encounters and that she later suffered a miscarriage. Combs remains behind bars on federal sex trafficking charges. He has pleaded not guilty.
There is sorrow for the Chicago White Sox after the team breaks Major League Baseball's 62-year-old single-season record with the most losses during the season. The team lost its 121st game yesterday to the Detroit Tigers, 4-1. The Tigers clinched their first playoff berth in 10 years, with a former White Sox announcer calling the game. All this after the Sox won 3 games in a row this week against the LA Angels, shutting them out Thursday, 7-0. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. People all over Wisconsin are talking about absentee ballot drop boxes after the mayor of Wausau decided to move one to make a political point. Mike Mohn reports.
Voting access advocates secured a victory over the summer when the Wisconsin Supreme Court reversed a near-total ban on drop boxes for absentee ballots. But this past weekend, the mayor of Wausau, a vocal opponent of the option, held a publicized event where he removed one. Sam Liebert, with All Voting is Local, feels it's an extension of those who continue to push false claims about the outcome of the 2020 presidential election.
This is just another part of a larger puzzle of continued voter suppression and trying to have fewer people vote in the upcoming November election.
The mayor defended his actions, insisting he did nothing wrong. Opponents of drop boxes claim they can be tampered with, and prohibiting them can help ensure election integrity. But election policy analysts say they are a proven safe option. All Voting is Local and other advocates called on state authorities to look into the matter. The local district attorney is pursuing an investigation. Even though the state's highest court made this voting tool legal again, local administrators still have the option to decide whether or not to place them around their communities. Liebert says those in leadership positions and the public should know how beneficial drop boxes are in giving everyone a chance to vote.
They help so many types of voters, whether they're voters with disabilities, they're third shift workers, they're single parents, All types of people benefit from having ballot drop boxes.
Earlier this month, a similar controversy arose over guidance from the Dodge County Sheriff's Office to local election clerks. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine and highs in the mid-80s. Clear tonight, lows around 50. Sunshine, 79 for Sunday. For Sunday night, some fog and 52. Monday, sunshine and a high around 81. For Tuesday, sunshine and much cooler with highs in the low 60s.
Currently, 69 degrees.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, State Senator Kelderoy's on how Republicans just keep digging a bigger hole when it comes to women's reproductive health care rights.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Got a warm breeze blowing, cool creek flowing, full moon high, got a good thing going, got some old school tracks, tweaking on the speakers, what we got between us is burning like a fever, it's a damn good night.
What is up, Wisconsin? You're listening to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman is the sidekick with the mostest. She's riding shotgun with me today. And we have an unbelievable show. So excited you're joining us here today. I cannot even, during the hunting season in Wisconsin, goose hunting's open, deer hunting's open, turkey hunting's open. I just got back yesterday. I flew in yesterday.
Yesterday from where?
I flew in from New York hunting the molt migration in New York.
The what?
For the molt migration. I know. So I was just going to try and explain what the molt migration is. The molt migration, so birds, young birds go through a molting phase that they can, where the, when they cannot fly, and that's when they're most susceptible to predators. But then when they get their first wings, it's when they're headed south for the winter.
Sure.
And the upstate New York, a lot of people think of the Big Apple as just this crazy, clamoring, big, huge city with all this going on, and it is. What they don't know is that upstate New York is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. There's a ton of...
You've been to a lot of places.
I've been a lot of places. I'm telling you, upstate New York is beautiful. When you fly in, you fly into Ogdensburg, New York, and it's 20 minutes from the Canada border. A lot of people don't even realize it borders Ontario, Canada. And there's water everywhere. And I'm what is absolutely freakish about it, because, you know, remember the Miracle on the Hudson when the plane hit the bird strike?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, when you're flying into Ogdensburg, because of the molt migration, you got the Adirondack Mountains and you got the ocean. So all the birds pushing from Canada are going through that bottleneck there, which makes it amazing hunting. When you're flying in, you literally see flocks of geese in the air as you're flying
in. Gorgeous. Oh,
it's beautiful, but like the hair on my arm is standing up right now.
Oh,
you get amped,
bet.
But you also are like kind of scared junkless.
Yeah.
That's the word I can use on
you
the radio.
Can use that.
It's scary. B. Frederick, one of the national government affairs guys for Safari Club International, we call it SCI now, First for Hunters, is with us in the studio today. You are joining us on Raised in Wisco. I'm Joel Clayfish. That's Danielle Fairman. We are on your Civic Media radio stations every Saturday at 11. Thank you for taking time out of your day. This show is about showing you what Wisconsin's got to offer in its great outdoors. It's a cooking show because every week we talk about a recipe, and I got
an awesome recipe
this week I'm excited to talk to you about. It's Italian. I'm just going to say
Italian?
That. And it contains goose that went from the field to the dinner table.
Was this a New York
fresh,
recipe?
Fresh, never frozen. It was the New York recipe, all right?
Ooh,
look,
yeah.
If you got a problem, you got a problem with that?
Why, are you going to fight
me? What, you got a problem with that? Huh? Jessica, you are right there. Come on.
Why do you listen, do that all like, so
all,
well?
All I got to say is...
You have to do the same hand motion.
Okay, my family's Italian. I have to have some... All I got to say is if you're going to make a red sauce, you got to be careful not too much bay leaf, all right?
We need you to do the listen, recipe in that.
Listen, I'm going to do the recipe in my best New York accent.
Yeah.
What's really weird is that in upstate New York, the accent is like... Canadian. And then, oh my gosh. And then,
more.
In addition, it's an area that is filled with Amish. So there are Amish farms and, you have to be really careful driving because there's so many Amish buggies.
Oh, man. Yes,
and the
you
Amish
do.
Have a very distinct accent as well. And so you get a mixture of, like, East Coast, Canada, and Amish accents all together. It's fascinating. I love linguistics.
That just sounds so interesting.
It is super interesting. B. Frederick.
People are cool.
People are cool. Yes, they
people
are.
People are so awesome, dude.
Speaking of cool people,
totally.
B. Frederick.
B. Frederick is cool. And, you know, I've talked to him and we've worked on some legislation together. I want you to know B. Frederick was integral in helping us get the air gun bill signed into law by Governor Evers across the aisle. We had Republicans and Democrats working together on that. Governor Evers signed it into law. That's going to allow many more hunters to get into hunting sports. Now you can hunt deer, turkeys, waterfowl with air guns. And we had Joel Brown from Serpent Arms on the show. I have one of those air guns at my house. I don't mean to derail what we're talking about, but
there's
B. Frederick was
sure does.
Yes, it's amazing. We're going to shoot it. I mean, you know, producer Jess is going turkey hunting with us.
Yep.
I'm hoping to bring my air gun along on that turkey hunt.
That'd
so
be fantastic.
I'm excited about it. But my weekly Wisco is that I literally flew back from New York. We had an amazing time. We cooked fantastic food, served a bunch of people, got to know a bunch of the locals up there, made fresh ingredient dinners from their gardens, which we're going to talk about in our recipe segment. But I got on the plane when we were up at 3:30 in the morning, got to bed at 1, and we had about 2 hours of sleep every night. I was absolutely waxed when I got home, but I love it so much. And I heard that my friend B. Frederick, who I'd never met before, we worked together over the phone, was in town. So I literally,
I didn't even make
it home from the airport last night. I landed and drove to Scout Fields to try to put together a goose hunt for B this morning. That's my
That's
weekly
wonderful.
And I'm grateful. It was great. Good hunt.
So how was the hunt for you, B?
It was good. It was really good.
Did you shoot?
Did you get any? Joel kind of organized. It was a princess hunt for me.
What's a princess hunt? What is a princess hunt?
I strolled up and they're already out there putting decoys in the field. You know, Joel has my gun over there. And I'm like, oh man, I got to do something. You know, give me a decoy bag.
I think I gave him some like wasabi almonds and said, eat those. Don't worry about it. You can eat some like wasabi almonds.
That's awesome. Did you bring any for me?
They're still in the blind bag for sure.
They are because I ate them this afternoon.
Was this your first goose hunt, or have you gone goose hunting before?
I've goose hunted on the Eastern Shore of Maryland a couple times. I'm originally from Alabama. I live in Alabama right now, up here for a conference. I cover the whole eastern half of the country for SCI doing government relations.
Oh, wow.
And so that's how Joel and I know each other, work on various issues here in Madison at the Capitol. Air guns, muzzleloader, sandhill crane, Knowles Nelson stewardship, just access related stuff, among other things, anything that affects hunting. So that's how Joel and I got connected. And then just obviously in town, and he was kind enough to offer up a goose hunt this morning, and not going to turn that down. And
of course
so,
not.
Well, here's the funny thing.
A goose hunt with Joel is golden.
Yeah.
Not always, but it turned out all right. What's funny to me, though, is I'm thinking to myself, okay, you know how that goes. Like when you invite somebody from out of town, you don't know when the geese are where or if you're going to shoot anything. Goose hunting is one of those things. You can show up and you can get a 10-man limit in 10 minutes.
Yep.
Or you can sit there the time you had. And B had to be at the Capitol for meetings at 9:30 this morning.
Oh, no.
So we literally had like an hour and a half with him this morning. And I thought, well, I found a few geese at one of the fields we've got permission on. And I invited him with the old, I'll be nice, invite him, thinking he's going to be like, yeah, I appreciate it. I got meetings. I can't make it. He's like, yeah, when and where?
Yeah, good job. You're not gonna say that's no. Not... I mean, you know, Wisconsin.
And then I'm like, my house at 5 o'clock in the morning.
No, he goes 5:15, and then he goes,
I gotta get up in the morning.
5:30, and I was like, all right, no problem.
Yes. So we showed up, and here's the crazy part. I mean, like, it starts. Like right in the morning, we're in there and it's like 5 minutes after shooting time, and all of a sudden we hear, and we're like, where is it? B's like, I think it's ahead, and he couldn't see it, and it was a solo just coming in, like just doing
Ooh,
it, giving
perfect.
It
solo? Just perfect, a solo.
No pressure. But
like,
yeah, it's
perfectly.
Solos never come in. At least for me, solos do not come in.
It's hit or miss, you know, but this thing was committed. And so, and it was Rob Brennecke was with us this morning and Matt Carroll's. And I said, all right, B, shoot it. We're just going to put our guns down. And I'm thinking to myself.
Why are you laughing,
Because
B?
I was like, I felt the pressure. I was like, don't screw it up.
Was it
know?
The first shot of the day?
No, totally.
Oh yeah. Okay. First shot
it
of
was
the day.
Like 6:35.
And he couldn't see it coming.
It was so low.
He's tall.
It was so low.
And where he was sitting was like right where the
so
top of the blind was in his eyes.
They were in an A-frame.
Yeah. And I'm looking, I'm like, it's coming.
This
it's straight,
was the same
straight
story
on, straight
with
on,
Ellie.
Straight on. Yes, straight, same story with Ellie. She claimed she
couldn't
see it.
See anything.
But she couldn't see it because she was
tall,
short.
Though.
I know. Well, I just couldn't, the bird was low, so I couldn't see through the blind, but I knew I wasn't just going to like pop up and try and find it. I was like, I'll see it eventually. And
I'm like, there it is, kill it. And he pops up.
And.
Bird down.
Nice work.
And then the sound that I always make, it was game over. He got it. He shot it. We high-fived. We took pictures.
That's
and
awesome.
Then we
Joel
had a
and
whole,
Matt raced to go get it.
Yeah,
oh,
we
did
race. Yeah, that was kind of a mistake. I mean, it was like, it was like, let's
what was
just
it
say,
like?
Well, have you ever seen sumo wrestlers racing anywhere, Danielle?
Oh, no.
I mean,
no, I have
let's
not.
Just put it this way. I didn't have the giant diaper on and nothing else. I had camo on. I wasn't running
Thank
to the middle
for
of the field
favors, eh?
In the giant sumo diaper. I did have camouflage head to toe.
Oh, my goodness.
But it was like, bum, 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 bum. You know, it's two guys, an old heavier guy and a young heavier guy sprinting at full bore. Kind of looks like it's in slow motion.
Bum, oh, bum, that's bum, great. Bum, did anybody fall?
Well, we really
All
wanted
right,
a video.
Did you throw a stick out?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
He had another retrieve that was really good too.
Oh, thank
you. Don't
you.
Need a dog when you're hunting with Joel. I mean, it was a long retrieve. The other one was really long.
I get out there and I'm literally reaching for my neck to make sure my heart's still beating. And then birds are coming. So then they're like, get down.
Lay
so
down.
I'm lying down in the field. The birds passed 20 feet above me. I did not shoot at them. Number one, because I wanted to be safe. Number two, I didn't want to mess up the birds coming to the blind. But it ended up me running out there 150 yards to get this
dude. It was way out.
It messed
way
everything
out.
Up.
Oh, no.
But it was, I wanted him, you know, I wanted him to have his trophy and be able, and I have to tell you, I'm waiting for this moment to spring this on you. Your geese, B, are now delightful, shredded, delicious beef style shredded goose right now that you're going to be able to take back with you.
Oh, man, look at that.
When are you leaving?
Thursday.
Yeah,
Thursday.
So
Fly
I've
back
got,
Thursday.
I cooked it. I put it in the Instant Pot today with my personal recipe. I'm going to get him to swing by the house on the way home and take it home with him.
What a treat. Thank
you
so much.
So I'm pretty
That's
jacked about
kind.
That.
Thank you.
That's my weekly Wisco. Danielle?
Oh, I just went out turkey hunting and I got permission to goose hunt another property.
All
look
right.
Look at me go.
I want to hear about that because I want to talk about goose hunting other properties. Man, this show is so awesome. I can't wait to tell you about our recipe and what B's got in store to get done for hunters around the state and the nation.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that. Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites and making obese people pay more for health care. And a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar, something they finally did this year, shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us. Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles, kind of making small talk, killing time, flirting with the flight attendants, 30,000 feet above.
Was that you on the plane in New York walking everybody down there?
That was. No, because I had my calls above me in the carry-on port.
It's probably a good thing.
And the last thing I wanted to do was have geese come closer to the airplane while we were flying.
Yes, yeah. They definitely would have heard you. You want to talk?
It kind of scares the crap out of you. Folks, welcome. You're listening to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman's alongside me. And B. Frederick, Government Affairs for Safari Club International, SCI for Hunters, is with us. We had an awesome hunt this morning. Want to say thank you so much for listening. I hear from listeners all the time when I'm out, and it's so great to hear listeners say they love the show. They love the serious aspects of it we talk about. They love to learn about hunting, fishing, kayaking, rock climbing, camping, everything you can do in the great outdoors of Wisconsin, and they love to hear about how to eat, how to cook, how to forage, and that's something we make sure to do on every show on Raised in Wisco. And remember, to be a voter in 2024, early voting is already open. Make a plan and vote for whomever you think will represent you the best this and every election. It's your civic duty. Therefore, Civic Media is reminding you to do it. You can listen to Raised in Wisco on every Civic Media station at 11 a.m. Saturdays. We love being a part of your weekend. That is the time most folks get out into the outdoors. If you take time and listen to the show and it helps you enjoy the state of Wisconsin, that brings a real sense of pride to me. I know it does to Danielle.
Absolutely.
Danielle and I have been hunting together for more than a decade now. We've been sidekicks with each other, and we love bringing you Raised in Wisco. B. Frederick has been talking to us about some of the things that SCI has been working on, the air hunting legislation. Now it is the first season it's legal to hunt with an air gun for big game and turkeys and small game. The muzzleloader bill, which made it easier for folks to be able to load muzzle loaders from the breech. It's a small thing, but it's big when you talk about hunters who may have dexterity issues, potentially hunters with diverse abilities or disabilities, older folks who may struggle to front-end load a muzzle loader, and it's actually safer. So we did some things really across the aisle that changed kind of the preconceptions that Democrats and Republicans can't get along to pass hunting legislation, didn't we, B?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good, appreciate that, Joel. I mean, there's a lot of good things there that we worked on last session, and I think we're going to have some stuff teed up for next session as well that is bipartisan. That's the whole idea, is that, you know, we always say hunting is conservation, and hunting and conservation are nonpartisan issues. That's how they should be. That's how they always have been. Unfortunately, they can get politicized pretty quickly, especially in states where, you know, you may have that partisan divide. Obviously, we're seeing that more and more across the country now. But ideally, whether it's, you know, in D.C. and Congress or in our state capitals across the country, the idea is that these issues that we care about, that we're talking about, just are not partisan issues.
No, I when it comes to hunting, I mean, for example, Danielle, you were kind of non-political for quite a bit of your life.
Quite some time.
And I mean, I don't know if I'd even call you political at this point. But hunting and fishing and using the outdoors, foraging, those are not limited to Republicans or Democrats. So what's intriguing to me, you know, non-hunters. Now, that's what's so great about this show. I absolutely love what we do with this show. Producer Jess is certainly 100% in the category of a non-hunter at this point.
Yep.
But now she's interested in hunting. She's purchased her first ever hunting license.
Nice.
She's going to hunt turkeys with us.
Cannot wait.
We went through all of the iterations of what may or may not happen and whether she feels comfortable actually taking the life of an animal, which is a massive responsibility in conservation and putting food on the table. To me, it's very ethical if you're a meat eater to understand where your food comes from and how it gets from the field to the table. I think that's very important. And I mean, producer Jess, did you ever... And, you know, we started the segment blowing goose calls, unless you thought those were real geese.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Because my calling's so good.
It's so genuine.
It's so genuine.
Yeah.
What?
Producer Jess, did you ever in a million years when you were going to school learning how to produce for radio, for media,
oh, yes,
when you were studying
media?
I definitely did that. Okay, that was sarcastic.
It sure was.
A little... Dude, that was a little
being
sus.
Being sassy with you.
That was a little sus.
No, no.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to start using Gen Z sayings again.
Please do not.
Bruh.
No.
Bruh. That's chuggy.
That's chuggy?
Chuggy.
What is that one?
I don't know. Jess, you're a youngster. What does chuggy mean?
Chuggy is my brother-in-law's band.
The band's name is chuggy?
Chuggy.
Jess, did you ever think when you started producing for radio, you'd end up with a show that had so many different things that they talked about that you really had no idea of at the point?
I mean, I sure hoped so.
Yeah, I guess.
I kind of came into this with this idea of I'll be able to meet a whole bunch of different people with a whole lot of different views on what life is and what life should be and can be. And I just came into it with the concept of, yeah. People are cool.
Yeah, people are cool. And you've eaten wild game for the first time?
Not for the first time.
One of the few times you ate wild game was we brought pot pies into the studio.
I promise you,
I'm going to bring more wild game in it because this goose that I made that B. Frederick shot with me in the blind this morning was absolutely awesome. I want to say this for the 7.2 million listeners. I want to say this. B. Frederick is an excellent shot.
Oh, look at
Well,
you
when
go.
They come in ones and twos and no one else shoots, then you have to be. And Joel's calling was so good that they sucked right in. They were really close.
Yeah,
and MTH's decoy spread was pretty solid.
The spread was solid. I will say this, though. We did have a two-pack or three-pack come in that we dropped all three of them. Two or three of them.
Yeah.
And so B and I were on the right side. We both popped up and we both shot at the same one. And my first shot, I shot before him, it hit the goose squarely in the butt.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a butt shot for sure. And then B, of course, shot it.
Clean up.
Played clean up and knocked it right down in front of us. But I'm going to tell you, what did you shoot? Maybe like five or six shells? Probably five or six shells.
Yeah.
You legit killed your
well
three
again y'all
are
incredibly
today.
Generous to let the non-local guy pull the trigger off.
That's pretty great though. You had the first goose too, so
first goose
that sets the tone for the
whole hunt. So it felt good. It was an awesome morning. We had a great time.
And Danielle is on the board. She's got some more permissions. I mean, to be honest with you, if Danielle knocks
excited.
On your door, how do you say no? How do you say no to Danielle? I mean, especially if you don't really know her at that point.
Yeah, yep. This is very true.
I cannot wait to talk about what we made in New York to eat. It was really New York style, all right?
Oh
do you
goodness.
Understand what I'm saying? And we're going to talk to B. Frederick about what's coming up and what you can expect and why it's so important you get to the polls. Take a ride.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
CBS News Brief. Tensions on the rise in the Middle East after Israel kills Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah. CBS Radio national security consultant Jeff McCausland.
Well, they've been after Hassan Nasrallah for a long period of time. That's why you very, very rarely in the last several years have ever seen Nasrallah in a public place.
Water still rising in many places after deadly Hurricane Helene. Kelly Cass at the Weather Channel warns.
Unfortunately, as we clean up from Helene, we have something else to watch here in the Western Caribbean. Getting into the Gulf of Mexico, the Hurricane Center keeping an eye on this area for our next possible tropical storm.
SpaceX's launch is on track for this afternoon to pick up NASA's Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore. But CBS's Manuel Bajorquez reports.
Even if all goes as planned, Wilmore and Williams will have to spend another 5 months in space because this mission is not set to return back to Earth until next February.
CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keys.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Bucky heads west. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Wisconsin Badgers take on USC today as UW tries to rebound from a loss to Alabama 2 weeks ago. Head coach Luke Fickell said he expects to start making big plays the rest of the season.
That's the thing that I think gets lost in the whole grand scheme of things, right? I mean, you know, that it's some special play that you call. No, it's called execution.
Kickoff today is at 2:30 p.m. You can stream the game on the free Civic Media app on WRJN, WRCE, WFHR, or WLAK, or listen on any of those stations live today. The Brewers, who are locked into the NL's third seed, defeated a potential playoff opponent, the New York Mets, 8-4 on Friday. The playoffs begin Tuesday for the Brewers in the wild card round. The Green Bay Packers play tomorrow against the Minnesota Vikings. Starting quarterback Jordan Love is listed as questionable for the game. He's missed 2 games with an MCL sprain. Kickoff is at noon on Sunday. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine and highs in the mid-80s. Clear tonight, lows around 50. Sunshine, 79 for Sunday. For Sunday night, some fog and 52. Monday, sunshine and a high around 81. For Tuesday, sunshine and much cooler with highs in the low 60s.
Right now, 71 degrees.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
They're eating the pets.
J.D. Vance has said on the air that he admitted it was all a lie. Pat Kreitlow, words have consequences.
Of course they do. When we're talking about the incendiary remarks about immigrants, we're not talking about the fact that it was Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone who killed the bipartisan border security and immigration reform bill.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
The backseat. Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, James Vanderloo, the head of OEC Group, an expert in transatlantic trade and tariffs, will get all wonky with me. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
She's a hot little number in her pickup truck. Daddy, sweet money done jacked it up. She's a party all nighter from South Carolina. A bad mama jammer from down in Alabama. She's a raging Cajun lunatic from Brunswick. Juicy Georgia peach with a thick southern drawl. Sexy swinging womb, brother, she's all country.
Raised in Wisco, your one-stop shop to take the outdoors to the indoors to the kitchen. Man, Wisconsin's got it going on right now.
And Alabama's in the house today.
And Alabama's right, in the house.
That's right. Not we University of by any means.
No, you don't like them, do you?
No, I don't. And they just came. They just came and played in Madison.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Didn't go see them?
I'm an Auburn guy, which we don't have a lot to cheer for at the moment. But
I went to college at Pepperdine University, and they did not have a football team. So now, having two daughters who go to Baylor University, now I'm all about Baylor football because their program there and their stadium, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I still know very little about football, though.
Do you want to know where I went to college?
Where?
I did not go to college.
Okay.
I went to the Union.
She went to the University of Hard Knocks.
There we go. We'll go with that one.
Danielle's a heavy equipment operator by day.
Okay.
Yes. And even before she did that, I still wouldn't have messed with her. I think Danielle would have laid me out flat.
Yeah, don't believe that little laugh.
Yeah, no.
I'm sweet, innocent. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm buying that.
I'm scared already.
Raised in Wisco can be heard on all your Civic Media stations Saturdays at 11 o'clock. Make sure that you're going to be a voter this year. You can sign up for early voting, which is now open. Make sure to do that. One of the cool things that we do on the show is talk about current issues and make sure that we help inform those of you out there who are going to the ballot box. I think, and having B. Frederick here, who does government affairs across the country, really, for SCI, I'm going to pick his brain a little bit because I'm interested in knowing. Hunting is one of those things that incorporates, Second Amendment rights because it's done with firearms very often. So you've got Second Amendment rights, but then you've also got conservation rights and issues that clash sometimes back and forth among different political philosophies. How do you come into a state and balance that and present yourself as a nonpartisan organization trying to get work done? Because the reality of it is, no matter who's got the majority or the minority in the houses and legislatures or who's sitting in the governor's office, very little actually gets done if it's all from one party or all from another party.
Sure.
You really need to have buy-in from both sides of the philosophical political spectrum. How do you handle that? And is that one of the reasons you're here in Wisconsin right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so there's a number of ways to look at that. I mean, it is a interesting issue when you look at hunting and conservation kind of on the whole, and the spectrum of people that do it, that enjoy it, the political spectrum, things like that. But one of the main things we want to do when we go to a state is get our members involved. Our members are certainly our best advocates. So we have chapters across the country, really across the world. So these are the folks that do vote for these people in the state house or state senate. They know these people. They see them out to dinner. They see them in the grocery store. So when we get our members involved and they show up at the state house and say, "Hey, I'm so-and-so, I'm Joel Clayfish from the Wisconsin SCI chapter," or whatever it may be, that goes a lot further than me coming in saying, "Hey, I'm from Alabama. This is, these are important to our issue, to our members." And that's true. And ideally, we can do both. And so we want to communicate to elected officials that, hey, there's people in your backyard that are SCI members, that are, maybe gun owners, that are certainly hunters, that just love to hunt, which is, again, for us, our mission is SCI is first for hunters. So we want to be out there on the front lines of defense to protect the freedom to hunt. That's what we do every day. There's species oriented groups, there's firearms oriented groups. We're all on the same team, right? We're all pulling in the same direction for hunting and conservation and firearms. Each group may have a little bit different kind of rifle shot approach there. But at the end of the day, we want to be kind of pulling in the same direction. So we had some meetings today that were kind of more of a coalition. There's a conference here in town with a lot of the state agencies, so the DNRs from the different states are here for a conference. And so that's what we're doing. We're interfacing with those decision-making decision makers and decision-making bodies to say, hey, you know, what can we do to ensure kind of the freedom to hunt, protect the freedom to hunt?
Yeah, I think that's incredibly important. One of the things that I find when I encounter a non-hunter or an anti-hunter, I am not a person. I love the fact that people have different philosophies and
Absolutely.
Beliefs. I mean, I love the. I mean, that's why America is the greatest country on earth. We allow the freedom to have opposing beliefs, and we allow forums to debate those beliefs.
Sure.
And what makes me excited about it, and I think I also subscribe to the you catch more bees with honey than you do with vinegar. And that's why I will not automatically dislike somebody if they have views that are opposed to me. But what I find most fascinating is that, look, you know, we've kind of moved away from the vegetarian movement, and now healthy diets include high levels of protein. Protein is incredibly important. There's only one place you really get protein, and that's from animal meat. So if you are a meat eater, I find it very difficult to be opposed to hunting, because hunting is the purest form of bringing protein to the table. You're literally hunting an animal that has lived free its whole life. Now,
right.
I love our farmers, and I support them, and I love the beef and chicken from farms is great. But that is an animal that is born to be raised to be slaughtered so that you can eat your meat. When you are a hunter, I believe there's an ethical charge to it that allows you to understand the gravity of taking another life and putting it on the table for sustenance of you and your family. And I find that when I talk to non-hunters or anti-hunters, very often if you deliver it to them in that approach, they will have not necessarily a change of heart, but a change of the way they look at hunting and see it as a source of your family's protein. My family eats only wild game. That's what we eat. My wife had cancer at age 35. We eat wild game. There's really nothing more organic than that.
Yep.
And so for both of you, because both of you understand the whole political stance, with your interactions with people every single day, how often do you guys come across an anti-hunter or people that are completely against it? Because with me working construction, everybody hunts.
You'd say the majority of people who work construction hunt. Why do you think that is?
I have honestly no idea, because I have no idea.
I mean, because if you're talking about Wisconsin, and I asked that question because I didn't think you'd be able to answer why that is. And I think the bottom line of why it is because in Wisconsin, we have a heritage of hunting, and 600,000 people. The Orange Army enters the woods on the opening of our gun deer season. 600,000
people. That's just gun deer.
That's more people.
Archery. We have goose. We have turkey.
Yes.
We have everything.
Yes,
so
that's just gun deer.
That.
Right. And that's larger than many countries' armies are. And I think that is because it is part of our cultural heritage. And what is so important to me and why we spend so much time talking about wild game recipes and eating what you kill is because I think you really take away the argument of an anti-hunter who is a meat eater if you eat what you kill. And how important do you think that is in the debate? How important do you think that is, B, in the debate, that you need to utilize what you kill and not just trophy hunt? Trophy hunting is great, and every animal, to me, is a trophy.
Sure.
Every animal.
Yeah.
And you can utilize the fur and the cape and the
right.
horns and the teeth and everything. I mean, jewelry and guns. Slings or briefcases or wallets or clothing, but how important is it that we make sure to utilize the resource?
Yeah, absolutely. You can get pretty in the weeds pretty quickly on some of the numbers as far as the research done on acceptable reasons to hunt. And at the very top, almost every time is a food source, like the locavore movement, right? Or a sustainable food source. That's almost at the top every time. And at the bottom typically is trophy hunting. And so what we need to do a better job of is communicating why we do what we do, right? As hunters, why are we out there? How do we utilize the resource, to your point? How are we feeding our families with it, the traditional values that come along with that, the family values that come along with that? So that's something that as a hunting community, by and large across the country, the messaging, whatever that is, those key messages, those conversations are happening all the time with sportsmen's organizations, with state agencies, and other groups saying, hey, how can we do a better job of communicating what we do and why we do it, why it's important to us, that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it's a very topical conversation, just for generally speaking on the hunting side of things, for sure.
So you guys do see people coming up to you or around you that are anti-hunters?
Oh, for sure.
Often?
For sure. Well, I think, you know, having been a member of the legislature, mm-hmm. and being in the public eye, as far as being a hunter, I mean, you're going to see photos on my Facebook of me hunting, and
oh, yeah.
you're going to see a picture of me with a dead animal. And for me personally, in my professional career and how people view me, it's important to me that they know I'm utilizing the resource and it's going on my dinner table.
Yeah.
When I hunt in a foreign country, you're not allowed to bring meat from a foreign country back to the United States. The FDA prohibits it. I think that's ridiculous and stupid, but I 100% make a point to eat that animal in that country. Now, I'm going to also say something, and I hope it doesn't come across as controversial. I have absolutely zero problem with trophies. I think trophies are unbelievable. They're wonderful,
yes.
beautiful decor for houses. I have clothing that I wear. I have a black bear coat. Wallet in my pocket is alligator skin. I have alligator skin boots that I wear all the time. I have gun slings, briefcases. My wife's purse is made out of animal skin. When you go to a store and you buy leather, guess what? That's cow skin that you're buying. So it's always been really important for me to show people that I'm utilizing the resource, because I think if you do it strictly for trophy purposes, and this gets into a difficult debate in other countries. When I hunt Africa, in Africa, they utilize the meat from what we kill. We do eat it. We are able to eat it, but then the majority of it goes to the tribes in the area where we hunt. So it's not only a sustaining food source. The money that is spent on the licenses goes to help bring clean water and upgrade water systems in foreign countries very often. So most of all, it's kind of education. What's super exciting to me is that we have never lived in a better time to make wild game taste fantastic. We've got the Instant Pot. We've got air fryers. We've got recipes. Sous vide. Very
that's
good.
That's a great thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, we've got spices and rubs. And I'm telling you, I can't tell you how many times someone has looked me in the eye and said, ugh, wild goose is disgusting. And then
multiple
I will
times.
Make for them and I'll say, hey, have this shredded beef sandwich or shredded beef Mitchell Kahn style street taco. Oh, man, this is the best shredded beef I've ever eaten. I say, well, great, because it's sky carp. You know,
yep.
you know,
sky carp.
Sky carp.
I've never heard that. Actually.
That is.
That's a good one.
That
sky carp.
That's good.
And I mean, I joke about it, but there are so many. The provider cookbook, the provider itself. I work for the Fowl Life under that umbrella as the provider. Go on the provider website. You'll get 8,000 ideas how to make your game taste amazing. And now that's all we eat at home. And we don't think twice about it. We really don't think twice about it. And if you're not a hunter and you're buying farm, you know, raised beef and everything, that's wonderful too. I love a delicious ribeye steak at the Tornado Room in Madison. Don't get me wrong. I love it. But I think what we're seeing, B, and I want to talk to you about this, what we're seeing right now is philosophies on the right bending the corner and the left bending the corner and meeting in the middle, kind of in the area of conservation and clean eating and organic eating. Are you seeing that on a national level when you're talking about legislating in these different states?
Yeah, a little bit. I think you mentioned the word education earlier, and I think that's a big word, whether it's, you know, the food movement, or you mentioned Africa, and obviously Safari Club International, that's a focus for us. That's how we got started over 50 years ago and what we do. But at the end of the day, we're advocating for the freedom to hunt over there as well. And so educating folks on, hey, the importance of hunting in Africa, what it does for local communities over there, how it's sustainable use in Africa, how it's sustainable use here. At the end of the day, the education piece is a primary issue.
Yes.
Irrespective of if it's food or if it's just in general.
And that is up to us as hunters to be beacons of that education. Invite people to talk to you about it. Don't shun somebody if they don't agree with you right away. Try to explain why we do what we do. I can't wait to continue that discussion and tell you exactly how to make the most delicious lasagna from scratch. Don't be afraid of the sauce.
Country. It's all about the country.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Werzer Builders invites you to discover easy living in their 55-plus senior condos conveniently located on Eau Claire's south side in the Timber Bluff neighborhood development. Enjoy quality custom units with well-thought-out floor plans, kitchens with center islands and granite countertops, charming front porches, and outdoor patios with pergolas. Units are two-bedroom, two-bath, come complete with appliances, and start in the 270s. Contact Werzer Builders today for lot availability and building details at info@werzerbuilders.com.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Civic Media is your place to listen to Raised in Wisco in 13 markets throughout the great state of Wisconsin. I'm Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman and I get to co-host this awesome show about the greatest things about the outdoors of Wisconsin, about food. B. Frederick, one of the national government affairs guys for SCI, is in the studio with us. We had a really fascinating conversation about hunting, about what it means to different people of different philosophies, about crossing the aisle, about making sure that we can ensure the resource for generations to come. And I don't want to be remiss, it is also about the rights of people to exercise their ability to hunt and bring food from the field to the table in this country and other countries. And It doesn't go without saying, because I don't think a lot of people realize how much the American hunter who hunts abroad ends up helping the cultures and the economies of those countries. I hunt South Africa, and the meat goes to local tribes. When you shoot a gemsbok or you shoot, you know, a large animal, there's hundreds of pounds of meat
Yep.
that's literally going into the food sources of the tribes. And the money that is spent there in South Africa that is attached to hunting funding, hunting expenditure, ends up helping with clean water facilities and really some very humanitarian things.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, you can really extrapolate that anywhere, right? So, I mean, I'm here for a conference. I bought a license. I'm buying gas. I'm buying food here. So it could be local here in our backyard where hunting provides an economic impact to the local landscape, or it could be abroad. It could be in Europe. It could be in South Africa, wherever. But hunting certainly provides that economic impact just from being there, the tourism, for lack of a better word, tourism, ecotourism dollars that's provided there. And then what you mentioned, kind of the other benefits of, you know, for their bushmeat there for those people or other places. But yeah, there's so many benefits to the hunting community, what we do. And again, we've got to tell our story better about what we do and the importance of that. But yeah, you can see that, you know, wherever you hunt, you're providing a benefit by being there, utilizing the resource, but also providing that impact.
I think we're getting better at telling our story.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
Shows like this help tell the story. I think shows like this also bring folks from different belief systems together, which is very important, you know, as well. And B. Frederick got to be in the blind with me today. We shot some geese. We cooked them up. And I want to tell you our recipe. We, you know, But before I leave that, real quick, I want to talk. The governor's administration has teamed up with the Fowl Life, and the Department of Tourism and Travel Wisconsin is now a sponsor of the Fowl Life.
Awesome.
So it shows that the leading Democrat in the state gets it as to how important, you know, the hunting community is. And so they're teamed up with us. So when we're doing things in Wisconsin and cooking, and we're doing podcasts and television shows and talking about reasons to come and travel Wisconsin, it is something that definitely affects everybody, and it is one thing we want here, because the money that comes here from other states and other countries to hunt in Wisconsin is an economic driver in this state. And I was going to make a segue from economic driver to food. There really isn't one. It's just me, and food is my favorite dish. So I'm just going to say, now it's time to talk about food. We spent the weekend.
Smooth.
You're listening to Smooth. I was singing.
Producer Jess, the voice on him.
I was singing some smooth jams over the break.
Some smooth jams,
Smooth goose calling. Got it all.
Joel.
So the smooth recipe I want to talk about is. Ooh. She's like, get to the recipe.
She got that.
One of the number one thing we were in New York.
Sidetrack.
And we made goose lasagna. I mean, you're in New York, right? You got to make a good lasagna. You got to make some pasta. You got to make something that's going to fill everybody's belly. All right, hey, eat a little more. What are you talking about? What's your problem, huh? You got a problem with that? Come on. So for sure.
Oh, yeah?
We made goose lasagna, and one of the things everybody's always afraid of is sauce. So we went to this place. We actually had lunch.
Who is afraid of sauce?
Well, to make sauce. Afraid of making sauce. Not like afraid, like, there's sauce under my bed. No, I can't fall asleep. There's sauce under my bed. No, not afraid to make sauce. People are afraid to make it because it's kind of it's intimidating. So I want to tell you what this fascinating thing happened. And this just goes to the generosity of the human spirit. We're at a place called the Turner Inn, and we have lunch there. We get talking to the bartender in there, and she, you know, we're joking around with her because if you can imagine, Chad and I have rather large personalities. We're like garlic, all right? You want it in your kitchen or you don't want it anywhere around the house, all right? So we talked to this woman, and she says, well, what are you guys going to make? You're going to do a recipe for the show, right? And I just said, well, we're in New York. We got to make goose lasagna, right? So she says, well, you know, I grow tomatoes in my backyard, and I grow herbs and spices and garlic. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. She gave us bags of tomato sauce, which was just pureed tomatoes. She gave us cloves, like bulbs of garlic, and she gave us some rosemary, thyme.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something. It's this easy. We just took the goose. We put it in the crock pot for 10 hours till it fell apart with the standard recipe, water, oil, lemon juice, garlic, and salt, basically seasonings. And then we took the sauce and we put it on simmer. And all you have to do to make a good red sauce is just let tomato sauce simmer. It will get that rich flavor over time. Then you just add to it flavors as you go. Add salt. Added a little sugar, took away a little of the acidity, turned out perfect. The goose meat was shredded. We sauteed it in a pan, give it a little crispy edge. We flash fried it a little bit. And we made a 9-layer lasagna, a 9-layer Italian goose lasagna, oregano, fresh garlic, fresh basil, fresh thyme. You just keep adding to that sauce. You can correct sauce as it cooks. That's the beauty of it. Don't worry about if it doesn't taste right. Figure out what it's missing and keep adding as you go. And we turned out with a 9-layer lasagna.
Oh, yum.
Get out of here. What are you talking about? It was delicious. Try it at home. Don't be afraid. Put that wild game in your recipes. Folks, we love you listening to Raisin Wisco on all your civic media stations. Can't wait to talk to you next week. See you.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap. Jane Matt and Aaron Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, very excited to have Lee McGowan, the politics girl, is going to join us as we break down the upcoming 2024 presidential election. Don't miss it.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings at 10. The Todd Alba Show.
Troy, our grand prize winner from that Just a Bit Outside the Movie Text to Win contest out in beautiful Mount Horeb.
You gotta go see this movie. You know, you'll laugh, you'll cry. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true.
It is.
The no narrator was perfect for this movie, and that's what made the movie. Yeah. Seeing the players in their own words telling these stories.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.